What is up, everybody? This episode is rotted to the core. We are going to be talking about somebody who we've mentioned a lot in passing, and that will be Mr. Dan Schneider. Troy, I feel like Dan Schneider and Lou Pearlman are the reason you and I even became like friendly, talking through DMs. Would you agree with that?
1000% agree with that. I definitely feel like Dan and Lou are like our collective white whale.
Yeah.
Like we both just hate these men so much. And it's like crazy to exist in a world where like we, like it feels like there's so much information about Dan out there, but like there are still so many people that have no idea who he is.
Absolutely. And I do want to say, like, trigger warning, we're going to be talking a lot about like pedophilia, molestation, things like that. So this isn't a fun episode.
No, it's behind the paywall for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to start by saying, you know, according to reports, there's been no formal complaint against Schneider, and he denies these allegations of him being inappropriate. So everything from here on out is alleged.
I want to ask you just off the top, like, when did you become aware of Dan Schneider?
Jeanette McCurdy.
Okay.
When I saw her Vine saying, "Hey, Dan Schneider, I know you watch my Vine. Look what you did to me." I was like, who is Dan Schneider? Because I always thought like Jeanette reminded me a lot of Amanda Bynes.
Mm-hmm.
Like really funny, really witty, very, very good at the role she was playing.
Right.
And when I saw that, I was like, that's weird.
Yeah.
And then you didn't even have to dig that deep, because I think the first thing I found was all the foot fetish stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say I was probably in maybe not high school, but early college at least.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it must have been probably around the same for me. It was definitely college for sure. And, you know, Dan Schneider is one of those rare cases, much like Lou Pearlman, where like this is a blind item story, because Dan Schneider does not get reported on nearly enough by mainstream media. And this is one of those rare cases where this is a blind item that has like sort of bled out into just normal, you know, regular news reading people know about this. And, you know, like we just recorded an episode with Shannon from Fluently Forward, and we talked about like this idea that blind items could be dangerous. And it's like, well, without blind items, nobody would know that Dan Schneider was doing this shit to children. So it's like, that is such a layered conversation. Like, this is one of the stories that I'm like, thank God I read blind items.
Yeah, I completely agree. And as we always say with blind items, because people will DM us and be like, you shouldn't believe all blind items. And we don't.
We don't.
Like, I think with blind items, you have to take everything with a grain of salt, but you have to do that with anything you read online.
Yeah, I think, I hope that it comes off and that it's perceived on this podcast that we are just presenting blind items that exist. Like, we're not telling you that they're 100% real. Some of them, I mean, it's, you have to kind of use your own judgment and do your own research. And in an hour, there's no way that we can go through every blind item about somebody when they've been famous for a long time. It's just not possible. Like, so we would hope that when you listen to this, it inspires you to go look shit up, YouTube shit, read blind items, like do your own research. But Dan Schneider is very easy to, it's really, I mean, like you said, it's not hard to find out shit about Dan Schneider.
And I know we've talked about this on other episodes, but I'm just like, how did he avoid the Me Too movement?
It's crazy. I don't get it.
And I think this is something we've said multiple times on this podcast. People don't want to believe that this happens to kids.
Yeah, for sure. It's just too, it's almost like too dark to even allow yourself to like think about it. So you'd rather just not know.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've had conversations with people where I'm like maybe like a year ago, one of my friends brought up Dan Schneider and his weird videos that she found on Twitter, because those are so popular now.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, yeah, like he, that's always been a thing. And we were talking about Ariana Grande, and she was like, all right, I've heard enough. All right, enough, enough, enough. And that's like the reaction. And it's like, well, this is happening. And people sit their kids in front of these shows, like, and this is happening.
And some of the shows that he has produced, he's also done movies, but I just wrote down like a couple of the shows. Zoe 101, iCarly, Sam and Cat, Victorious, Good Burger, Drake and Josh, Amanda Show, and all that, just to name a few. So he has been in our lives since we were kids.
Yeah, totally. He's had such a major impact on the content that we consumed when we were young. You know, I think for me, when I found out about him, the person that really, it was Amanda.
Yeah.
I've always had an obsession with Amanda Bynes. She Same. Was like, you know, when she was younger, it was like, oh my God, like, I love this fucking comedy queen. She's a legend. Like, I used to, when I was younger, I used to watch her fucking childhood stand up on YouTube all the time because I just could not believe how funny she was. Like, I really, even still today, like, I believe that she was like one of the greatest comedic talents of our entire generation. Like, could have been a Kristen Wiig, you know, like, she's amazing. And I blame him for what happened to her.
I completely agree. And I'm not a huge Hilary Duff girl. And when people are like, why don't you like Hilary Duff? I'm like, because I was obsessed with Amanda Bynes. I was obsessed with like someone who was really, really, really fucking talented.
Yeah. Like lightning in a bottle, once in a lifetime comedic.
Like timing. Mary Tyler Moore.
Literally, I think that's the best comparison.
Yeah. A child Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah.
So before we get into all the blinds, I want to read a statement from Nickelodeon because they actually cut ties with Dan in 2018, which was the midst of the Me Too movement.
Mm-hmm.
Following many conversations together about next directions and future opportunities, Nickelodeon and our longtime creative partner Dan Schneider / Schneider's Bakery have agreed to not extend the current deal. Since several Schneider's Bakery projects are wrapping up, both sides agree that this is a natural time for Nickelodeon and Schneider's Bakery to pursue other opportunities and projects. Dan and his Schneider's Bakery team have created a string of lasting groundbreaking hits over the years, including iCarly, Drake and Josh, Victorious, Kenan and Kel, and the current number one hit show on Nickelodeon, Henry Danger. The statement continued, we thank Dan and his Schneider's Bakery Productions, executives, and social media team for their immeasurable contributions to Nickelodeon, and we wish them the best in their future endeavors. And Dan and Schneider's Bakery are proud of the work they did with Nickelodeon, and we will always remain big fans of each other.
Crazy, because if you know about this story and you followed it for a long time, you know Nickelodeon fought their asses off to protect this man. They went out of their way to protect him, to shield him from lawsuits, to pay people off, to pay off people's parents, to pay off kids. Like, they would like move him around and give him different titles at Nickelodeon to hide him. Mm-hmm. They really tried hard to protect him, and it's crazy.
And it's kind of crazy because we talk about the Disney machine a lot. But like the Nickelodeon machine was just as bad. It just, I guess it didn't have the Demis and the Selenas and the Jonas Brothers.
Right.
But I mean, it had Kenan Thompson, right? Amanda Bynes, Miranda Cosgrove. It did have big names coming from it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know why we don't bring up Nickelodeon as often as we bring up Disney, especially because the outcome has been so dark. I mean, Disney is dark, but Nickelodeon is dark.
Yeah. And I mean, Ariana Grande too came from Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm kind of like, why don't we talk about Nickelodeon, like the Nick machine?
Yeah. And I guess I'm just going to keep saying this the whole episode, but like, to what you said earlier, like, I do not understand how Dan didn't get Me Too'd. And I think a lot of people who read Blind Items thought this is it.
Mm-hmm. Like, I did too.
I was like, this is the moment. Even Crazy Days and Nights wrote about it as if like it's happening. Finally, it's going to happen. These kids are going to get redemption. Amanda Bynes, what she's been waiting for is going to happen. Like, you know, and it didn't. They just very quietly fired him. I remember a couple publications kind of talking about it, but, you know, I think that he's an example of how, you know, having friends in high places can really help you.
No doubt. No doubt about that. I would say the two most vocal Nickelodeon stars have been Jeanette McCurdy and Amanda Bynes. Would you agree with that?
1,000%.
And what sucks is they both went quote unquote crazy at one point. So people don't think they're credible sources anymore.
Yeah.
I think Jeanette has like come out on the other side more. I know she's been doing a lot of interviews, how her mom is a monster. She talks mm-hmm. a lot about that, how she was taken advantage of, but she never says Dan's name other than in that vine.
Yeah. And something that you and I have talked about before is like, and you know, this idea that like child stars just go crazy. Like it's like, oh, they can't handle the fame and they just go crazy. That doesn't happen to people. Mm-hmm. Like if you yourself listening to this were, you know, put into a situation where you were put on TV and put in movies and stuff and overworked and exhausted or whatever, you wouldn't then just start acting manic in public all the time and doing like, that doesn't happen to people. That's not how the world works. Like we've been brainwashed to think that that's just normal. Like, oh, they just go nuts. No, they don't. Like there are tons of child stars that don't go crazy. So if that's the case, then what? I don't get it.
Right. Right. Like what about Miranda Cosgrove? She never went, had that.
Right.
You know, Mandy Moore, just random ones, but yeah, it's so tough. And I wanted to start with a blind from 2007.
Ooh, okay. Throwback.
I don't even know how you define what list someone is when they are on some ensemble show watched by teens and preteens. So go with the above and make her a female. Make her pregnant, which is causing the producers to have a heart attack because they really don't need any more scandals. But wait, there's more. One of the producers who is old enough to be her grandfather shouldn't be having a heart attack because of shock, because he is the one who knocked her up. Her boyfriends are being lined up as we speak. Well, 2 months later, Jamie Lynn Spears announced she was pregnant. One of the producers on Jamie Lynn's Nickelodeon show, Zoe 101, is Dan Schneider, and he was at American Idol 2 months later. Who was sitting next to him? None other than Miranda Cosgrove, the 14-year-old star of iCarly. And then this is just like a comment that I thought was, that I thought we could talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it seem odd that if Miranda Cosgrove was going to go to American Idol, she would go with her producer? Why not a cute boy her age or her best friend co-star or her parents? I'm not saying she's sleeping with her producer, but it seems like she's sleeping with this producer. Also, sleeping with is the incorrect term.
Agreed, yeah. And people say that a lot when it comes to Miranda, too.
Yeah, I'm not going to say sleeping with. I'm going to say she's being groomed by Dan.
Yeah, she's fucking 14.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, no, I 1,000% agree. Yeah, I have some interesting Miranda blinds. It's like the way that this has been painted in Blind Items and by people who sort of are in the know is that Miranda was a willing participant in this whole thing and that the other girls weren't, and that they sort of suffered the consequences long term of not being willing to like play by the rules, as they call it. Mm-hmm. So somebody like Jeanette like gets punished for not wanting to fucking sleep with a sick fuck, whereas like, you know, Miranda is given like career opportunities or whatever, and that's how people viewed it. And I agree. I think that that's really weird. It's like, well, she was fucking 14.
And honestly, think of my first job, I was working at a sub shop, right? Mm-hmm. And if my boss was to tell me to do something, I would have probably done it.
Yeah.
You're 14 years old and even worse, they're in the entertainment business.
Yeah.
So if even if she was quote unquote willing, she wasn't because she's 14 and her brain is like not functioning correctly.
Yeah. And like, do you know anything about her parents?
I don't. I kind of feel like they're not super involved.
Yeah. Cause I'm always, sorry. There's a 5150 way by.
No, you're fine.
Can you hear it?
Yeah, but it's fine.
Okay. You know, the interesting thing that I always look at is like the parents. I'm always like, well, what kind of parents do they have? Because if you are, say, Jeanette McCurdy and you have stage parents, like classic, you know, old school Shirley Temple style fucking stage parents, right? Like, this industry is full of predators, obviously. Mm-hmm. And if you have parents that are willing to basically give you up to the industry and be raised by the industry, and this shit is going to happen. And just based on history, when you look at people like Macaulay Culkin, Lindsay Lohan, those are people that had parents, Corey Feldman, those are people that had parents that were willing to give their kids away to the industry for financial benefit. And, you know, it's like, it's a tale as old as time. And I don't know, I just think it's interesting. I wonder what her, I mean, for her to be going to American Idol as his date, I mean, she must, they, I can't imagine that they're like great people.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't know anything. I didn't like read anything about her parents, but I always just kind of assumed that they weren't around.
Right. I'm going to read one. I'm going to read another Miranda one since we're on the topic.
Mm-hmm.
It says, this skeevy kid show producer, Dan Schneider, might not be hands-on involved with the reboot of iCarly at his former network, Nickelodeon, but with his best friend, Brian Robbins, running the show, he was able to keep one of the stars, Jeanette McCurdy, off the show. You know, because she said things about him and didn't try hard enough to stay quiet about the 30-something producer, essentially living with the actress when she was 16. So the big star, Miranda Cosgrove, gets a comeback because she kept her breakdown to herself and didn't broadcast her life to the world and how she continues to struggle in the aftermath of the show. And I just found that to be interesting because it's like, you know, we also have to take into account that just because we don't see it, you know, the public Amanda Bynes breakdown doesn't mean it didn't happen, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And it's so crazy because I know Dan allegedly isn't attached to the iCarly reboot, but right. Like Jeanette still isn't on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess to me, I'm like, why is that? Why is it? And again, she might just be like, that was the most traumatic time of my life.
Right.
But I don't know. That stood up to me a lot. And someone was like, well, Dan's not involved with it. I'm like, fuck, Dan's not involved with it.
Exactly.
It's his show.
And he's still, the thing is, Nickelodeon only fired him to save face. They fired him to make sort of a public declaration that, like, we're good people and mm-hmm. we don't keep bad people on board. But they like Dan Schneider. Like I said, they protected him for years and he's in good graces with everybody at that network. So he's not there, but he's there. And there are also blind items about him being around all the time. Mm-hmm. He goes to Nickelodeon parties. He is always on set of these shows. He's basically working for Nickelodeon still.
Yeah. I have a blind from 2012. And when I saw who allegedly wrote this statement to Crazy Days and Nights, my jaw hit the floor.
Okay.
Robert Downey Jr. allegedly sent this to Crazy Days and Nights.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
About Dan Schneider specifically. He's a monster, the worst predator alive. And if you wonder why no one will confront or charge him, he's in charge of multiple hit shows for Nick, which rakes in oceans of money, tens of millions of dollars multiplied by many years in many shows, not to mention his merchandising royalties. So Viacom and Nick warn him to cool it, then pay for his damn lawyers. What about the parents? No tweener parents who shove their kid into the limelight from birth is going to cross him either and risk career suicide and loss of revenue and residuals in future career, no matter how bad it fucks the kid up, especially if there's multiple kid actors in the family. And the kid's agents are complicit too. Just ask the Spears family. A lot of settlements get paid out of Viacom's accounts.
Yeah, you read a lot about these settlements that they just, because they have so much money. Like they, like that blind said, they make tens of millions of dollars with these giant shows. It sucks when horrible people are talented. Like that's a really shitty thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're able to just shove money in people's mouths and I'm sure threaten them and scare them. These kids that have been on one show for a month that have no, you know, I mean, it's awful.
Mm-hmm. I have one from 2014 when Dan Schneider was honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Kids' Choice Awards.
Like,
what the fuck? Okay.
Yeah.
At the Kids' Choice Awards on Saturday night, Dan Schneider was honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award. Despite him receiving the award, two of the biggest stars he has produced in the past decade, Jeanette McCurdy and Miranda Cosgrove, both skipped the show. Like with most award shows on Nickelodeon and MTV, the winners are announced long before the telecast. This ensures that big stars who show up get an award. Jeanette actually received more votes than eventual winner Ariana Grande, but was told that she would not be receiving the award because of her photo leak scandal. She was also told that if Sam and Kat returns, which is doubtful at this point, that her contract would not be renewed. Dan Schneider could have saved her, but chose not to. He's more concerned with looking after himself and finding fresh female talent. Jeanette boycotted the award and Miranda boycotted, even though she was told she won an award right along with her. When Jeanette asked Ariana to also boycott the show, Ariana refused. Jeanette immediately unfollowed Ariana on Twitter and was a no-show at the awards.
Can we talk about the Ariana of it all?
Yeah, because she's still close with them.
So I don't know if you listened to the NT episode, the Crazy Days and Nights episode of his podcast about Dan.
I did not.
So he talked about how during that time, and if you watch like the videos and stuff of Ariana, like on set of those shows, like it's very fucking odd.
Yeah.
But he talked about like how Ariana was kind of like, because of the fact that she came into the industry with a bunch of money, she was super fucking talented. She's like one of those people where it's like, well, I'm obviously going to be famous, but who's going to make me famous? Like, mm-hmm. who gets the opportunity to make me famous? Like, she came in with a lot more sort of attitude and bigger balls than most kids would in her position, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Auntie Lara talked about how she sort of saw it as an opportunity to, like, she took from that opportunity what she could and dealt with that sick fuck and, like, adopted like a weird voice. Like, if you watch videos of her during that time, she like changed her voice and like,
yeah,
she still kind of talks like that sometimes, but like that all happened during her time on that show.
And
it seems like, yeah, from what I've read, Jeanette had a really big problem with her because she won't publicly denounce Dan. She like still follows him on shit and is friendly with him.
So this is from a July 2021 Deadline report, so not that long ago. A Viacom CBS investigation found that Schneider was allegedly yelling and throwing tantrums, as well as sending angry emails and texts to child actors outside of working hours. He also allegedly asked for shoulder and neck massages. Addressing the accusations, the producers told the New York Times that he, quote, never interacted with actors in any way, texting or otherwise, that should make anyone uncomfortable. I couldn't and I wouldn't have the long-term friendships and continued loyalty from so many reputable people if I'd mistreated my actors of any age, especially minors. He calls the feet pics ridiculous, and Schneider claims that if anyone he worked with over the years saw him as difficult, it was because of the high standards he held for his work. The longtime producer admitted, however, that he may have been a little harsh at times. Quote, over the years, I've grown and matured as a producer and a leader. I'm sure I'm better and more gentle at communicating today.
Let's talk about the foot stuff.
Let's talk about it.
This is the weird thing about Dan is that there are things that are so tangible that you can look at yourself. There are compilations on the internet, on TikTok, on YouTube, on Twitter. I mean, this is a story that Gen Z has even like gotten their teeth into, and they really are like, what the fuck was going on with these shows? And a lot of people have made compilation videos, including people that have auditioned. I've watched some on Twitter of girls that auditioned for Dan Schneider shows, and they told the whole experience of what happens. And Dan Schneider openly has a foot fetish. He is obsessed with feet. Mm-hmm. And when you compile all of the like foot fetishy stuff that he's put into his shows, it's hours and hours and hours of girls smushing fruit with their feet and pouring ketchup on their feet and eating it off and doing weird shit, like putting their foot in other girls' mouths, lots of close-ups of feet. During the time that Dan Schneider was like reigning over Nickelodeon, their emblem was a foot.
There are a lot of weird tweets being like, tickle your feet and send us a picture. Like, yeah. Very fucking weird.
Yeah, they created like a foot hashtag where it was like, it's, I don't know what, it was like Foot Wednesday or whatever. And on Wednesdays, like, you know what the deal is, kids, send us your foot photos. Yeah, like you said, like this week, the theme is like tickle your foot or like put peanut butter in between your toes and send us pictures. And there's, I mean, I have a blind about Dan deleting a lot of stuff online, but like, you know, there were, I mean, luckily people saved it because the internet is the best, but like there's just miles and miles and miles of threads of him responding to children on Twitter that are sending him photos of feet and being like, oh, like amazing, send us another one. Like, it's insane.
Mm-hmm.
This blind is from 2020. It says the pervy producer from the Tween Network must be expecting something big to come out about him. You don't delete thousands and thousands of tweets in a couple of hours for just no reason. He deleted 4,276 tweets in a single day.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just found this tweet. It's from 2013, and it's from the Sam and Cat Twitter.
Okay.
Sam and Cat tomorrow, right on the bottom of your foot, take a pic and use hashtag Sam and Cats Saturday. We'll RT and follow until our fingers are sore.
And even aside from just the feet, I mean, there are videos of like, you know, like every kid show has jokes that you're like, oh, I'm an adult now. And I understand that that's like, you know, that was an adult joke. How funny, haha.
Mm-hmm.
But Dan Schneider's jokes are about shit that you're like, that is insanity. Like jokes about ejaculation and threesomes and group sex and dildos, like on a kid show. Very famously, there's a clip that is now, I mean, I think lives in infamy, but is very popular on TikTok of Ariana Grande in a scene on like her bed on her show where she's like, if you squeeze a potato, can you get potato juice out of it? And she's like, stroking a potato with her hands with her mouth open. There's like she puts her foot in her mouth. There's like a moment where she's like laying on her back with her head off the bed, squeezing, mm-hmm. pretending to squeeze this potato into her mouth with her tongue out. Like, it's so over the top and so in your face that it's like, these men are so fucking pompous and obviously think that nothing can ever happen to them, which I guess they're right.
Okay, so before we get into Amanda Bynes, we have to talk about Jamie Lynn Spears.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of rumors that either Dan or another producer on the show are the mm-hmm. actual is the actual father of her daughter.
Right.
And You know, I know we did our Jamie Lynn episode, and I don't think Jamie Lynn is a good person anymore, but nobody deserves that, first of all.
Right.
And then I see that, and I'm like, well, no wonder why she's so angry.
Totally.
You know, so with Jamie Lynn, I try and give a little more, like, take, I guess, but the Zoe 101 set sounds like it was a mess in general. Mm-hmm. She said that, or Alexa Nicholas, Nicholas, who played Nicole Bristow on Zoe 101,
mm-hmm.
she said Dan Schneider thrived in this environment.
I can't imagine a bunch of parentless tweens that are desperate and, you know, have stage parents. And we know for sure that Jamie Lynn was on her fucking own. She didn't have a Felicia.
Right, that's true.
Jamie Lynn did not have a Felicia Culotta to travel around the world with her and protect her. She was alone on this set all the time as the lead. And you have to imagine, there's a, on a show where thousands and thousands and thousands of kids are auditioning, and I do want to talk, I want to talk about the audition process, because there's a girl that talked about that too. But you have thousands of kids showing up to these group auditions or whatever. They can choose to make anybody the lead of a show. Mm-hmm. So if you're Dan Schneider and you're this, like, sadistic fuck, you have to think, if you are the lead of one of these shows, it's for a reason.
Right.
So yeah, it leads you to think, like, and then, you know, factor in that she doesn't have parents with her or a guardian. It's crazy.
Yeah. What do you think of that rumor?
I mean, listen, you and I always say where there's smoke, there's fire. Like, there's a lot of smoke. The story that the Spears family painted about how she got pregnant and the guy that she got pregnant by seemed extremely sus. It was extremely suspect when it came out. It seemed very fake and very planted, very PR.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't put anything past that family at this point. I think we'd be fools to. I don't want to believe that to be true, but I've also read, even outside of Jamie, that there are a lot of girls that had scares.
Right.
I actually have a line. I think this is from 2019, I want to say.
Okay.
This is a Jamie Lynn one that says, the three named former A-minus list tween / teen, mostly television actress, recently found out her offspring has multiple half-siblings. Apparently the producer father was busy with other teens from other shows. And I mean, I've read that for years, that, like, people focus so much on Jamie Lynn, but, like, there could be dozens of kids that he's fathered.
Ugh.
It's like, it makes your skin, like, it makes your stomach hurt.
This one, I have a 2018 blind as well. Being covered up, or at least trying to cover it up, was the discovery on set of this now shut down show. There were multiple cameras in each trailer, dressing room, wardrobe and hair and makeup, literally hundreds of cameras in places where there was any chance of nudity. The show, a tween type show, had hundreds of tweens cycled through the sessions. It is unknown how many thousands of images and recordings exist. The executives at the network are trying to keep this all quiet because they would potentially be facing hundreds of lawsuits from anyone. This all came out after the showrunner was fired.
Oh, God, it's so heavy.
This is a tough one.
Yeah, this is, like, this may be my hardest one. This is a lot. I just hate this man so much. And, like, I just, it just enrages me that, like, people just allow him to exist out in the world. Like, he's just allowed to work and stuff still. Like, I don't know. What do you think about it? What do you think about the Jamie Lynn of it all?
I mean, I don't want to believe it. I really don't. But I also don't think Casey, is that who they tried to say, baby daddy, Casey?
Yeah.
I don't think Casey's the dad.
Right.
But this is like hard to believe for me. Right. But that's not saying I don't believe it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you don't want to.
Right.
I totally get it.
Yeah, it's just, it's hard and it's sick. But like you said, we've seen what the Spears family is capable of.
Yeah.
And Jamie Lynn was left with this monster unsupervised for however long the show was going.
Mm-hmm.
And he was running rampant at Nickelodeon. There was no touching him.
Yeah.
So who's to say it's not true?
I do want to talk about what I've heard as far as the audition process.
Okay, yeah.
So there was a girl who came forward a couple years ago. I think she told her story on Twitter, I want to say. And she talked about the process for auditioning for a Dan Schneider show. And she basically said that, you know, she showed, it was an open call. So like a bunch of kids just showed up and they do it at these like banquet, you know, banquet rooms in hotels or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And she showed up and it's Dan and that guy who I mentioned earlier, Brent or whatever, his like friend that still works at the network that
yeah
he works with still. So it's them and it's all these older men and it's a room full of young kids. And she basically said that the audition process consisted of them like being passed around on people's laps, like sitting on lots of laps. They had to show their feet. And she was like, you know, imagine like a room full of children like showing their feet to producers and then being asked to like cuddle, basically. That's the audition. And they did it in a way where they were like, you know, we like to see what the kids are like without their parents around because, you know, kids are nervous when their parents are around. So we asked the parents to not be here. So they locked the parents out of the audition. And they get to do this like as often as they'd like. Like if they feel like doing this, they just put an ad out and they have thousands and thousands of kids that show up to these hotels for hours and they get free reign over them and they get to do whatever they want. And then, you know, if they feel like starting some new multi-million dollar show that will probably do really well, they can. Or if they wanted this to just be like their version of a fucking strip club night, they can do that as well. And then that's it. And Nickelodeon knows that this happens and they don't care. And it's fucking insane.
It's just, it is hard to like imagine that this is what happens, but it is. I actually just found this quote. I was going to say we should end on it, but honestly, we probably should have started with it.
Okay.
The theme of pedophilia in Hollywood is all too common. I mean, ridiculously common. It's all hush-hush because of the amount of money and executive power most of these people have. But regardless, stories get out. Stories like parents who are familiar with the business of whoring out their own child to known pedophile producers and have no problem doing so because they're usually abusive themselves and want their child to become the family's cash cow. Many parents who are unfamiliar with the business don't realize what they're getting their child into beforehand. But when their child confides in them after being inappropriately touched by a producer, the parents don't want to file an accusation and ruin everything that child has essentially built for them. Child stars are often molested at a young age and then become hypersexual by the time they're in their late teens. By then, they are willing to fuck any and every producer they can for a gig. While they're getting money and fame in exchange for sex, they may not feel guilty about it at the time because they are being instantly rewarded for their behavior. But as these stars get older and less desirable to producers and get less famous, the actions of their youth come back to psychologically haunt them, resulting in meltdowns and erratic behavior. Just look at stars like Britney, Lindsay, Macaulay, Amanda Bynes, and many others. It becomes apparent. One of the greatest examples of an alleged child predator producer is Dan Schneider, who created and wrote Zoe 101, All That, Victorious, iCarly, The Amanda Show, Drake and Joss, and What I Like About You, and is the most successful writer / TV executive in children's entertainment for the last 30 years.
Wow. I mean, that sums it the fuck up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Especially the part about like them in their later teens, early 20s becoming hypersexual. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that a million times. Have you ever seen An Open Secret?
Mm-mm.
There was a documentary that came out of maybe 2 years ago, maybe longer, maybe 3 years ago. I don't know. It was a while ago. It was supposed to have like a wide release at theaters. It's called An Open Secret. I think it's available on YouTube. And it was like the documentary like to expose all of this shit. It was supposed to be like the Kids Me Too documentary.
Was it the Corey Feldman one or no?
No, this was like a real deal, like like budget, big thing. And they had all these kids that have been in a bunch of films, and they talked to all these adults who were former child stars that went to like Bryan Singer parties and stuff. Like they exposed the entire orchestration of Bryan Singer's parties and how they work. And a lot of Bryan Singer boys were interviewed. They talked about basically just the fact that like, it's such a system, like from every level, from like they talked about this guy that was doing headshots, for example. He was like a really popular headshot photographer for child stars.
Mm-hmm.
And this talent agent, she was like going through his photos, and she saw that he was getting emails from people that he was like selling photos on the side. And she was like, well, what photos would he be selling if they're not, they're studio photos. They're like pictures of unknown kids and headshots, like what would he be selling? Yeah. And it turns out he was taking like gross pictures as well of kids and like selling them on eBay. But this guy was the premier child star headshot person. Like he took pictures of everybody. And it also turns out that he was like managing people. So he managed Leonardo DiCaprio as a kid, and he managed Tobey Maguire as a kid. He was their manager. And he managed Tom Cruise when he was younger, and he would have these guys like live in his house to get them set up and ready for Hollywood in heavy quote fingers. Like the machine of it all is so like big that it makes you understand like why more people don't say something.
Yeah,
because like what the fuck are you supposed to do if you're a 12-year-old?
And I just want to say, I know like QAnon and Pizzagate and all that stuff, I don't want people thinking that we are trying to be that, because we're not.
No.
This is something that really is happening in Hollywood, and it needs to be talked about.
It's honestly so sad that QAnon has attached itself to this specific thing.
Yeah.
Because it makes me think, like, well, I always wonder, well, what if QAnon had attached itself to Me Too? Then would women not be getting assaulted in Hollywood either? Because yeah. QAnon has decided to like make it their cause. Yeah, like that is like a group of fucking psychopaths that have decided to take something really sick and like turn it into a political thing.
Yeah. I have a blind from 2012 about Jamie Lynn Spears. This former almost A-list tweener has been desperate to get back on television since her abrupt departure a few years ago. Her parents won't let her, though, because they don't want to have to answer questions about what happened, which would break wide open the Hasley concocted cover story that barely stood up to any kind of examination.
Ugh!
I know.
Ugh! My God, it's like making me sick. Do you want to talk about Amanda?
Let's talk about Amanda, because, yeah, let's talk Amanda.
I want to read a blind that I consider to be like one of the most iconic blind items maybe in history.
Mm-hmm.
So as we've talked about before, Amanda Bynes has like a really close relationship to Inti Lawyer, and she's used his website to try and communicate her thoughts about her conservatorship and her family and stuff, like, because nobody listens to Amanda Bynes. Like, as often as people want to say like, oh, I miss Amanda Bynes or whatever, like, publications do not listen to her. Mm-hmm. They don't take anything she says seriously. They don't give her the platform to speak. And if they do, it's like, Amanda, remember when you said that you wanted Drake to murder your vagina? And it's like, this girl has so much to say, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So in 2018, after years of using Crazy Days and Nights as a platform to try and get her voice out there. Amanda wrote an open letter to the readers of that website that was coded. So I'm going to read the letter and then we can talk about what it says, really. Last night, after the news broke about a certain producer, an actress all of you know who knows the producer as well as anyone sent me this. Thank you for all your ongoing support. I don't know how any of these men sleep at night, but if there's one thing that I do know, it's that what's done in the dark always comes to light. XOXO. Sorry, I thought I was clever. Smiley face. I unfortunately will obviously not be making any comments whatsoever for obvious reasons. And unfortunately, I feel as though the only way the legitimate stories can make the headlines regarding Dan Schneider is if others publicly speak on his behavior. Dan was truly like a second father to me, but things changed. After the second incident, I don't know if I will ever be able to have children or have the family of my dreams. People have been picking this scab for years. I just want to be the one who finally rips it off. Now, when that item was revealed, it showed in the blind that there were random letters capitalized in the blind. And when you put together the letters that were capitalized, it spells out in capitals, Dan did it. And when that first came out, like, I aged an entire year in 1 second.
Yeah.
It blew me the fuck away. Killed me.
She tried.
She tried so hard.
Her, I will say, her and Jeanette, and then the girl from iCarly with the glasses, the who Jamie had Brittany bully.
Yes.
She's tried to talk about it, but she's always shut down too.
Yeah.
And where's fucking Nick Cannon in all this? Where's like, you know what I mean? Where are these? Yeah. He had stake in Nickelodeon for a long time.
That's why I don't really fuck with him, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't fuck with him because he grew up with Amanda Bynes. He was on all that as a child as well. He knows what happened. He has a huge platform. And like, I understand that he, you know, he was like doing the music or whatever for Nickelodeon, but it's like, you know, he's been interviewed about Amanda a million times and he gives the most surface bullshit. I don't want to be involved. You know, he's a pussy. Like,
yeah.
He's a pussy. He grew up with that girl. He knows what happened. And I've always expected at some point he would like man up and like say something, and he never does. And I'm just like, that grosses me out.
I guess really like any of the big stars, they just must be terrified.
Yeah. I would imagine it's got to be really scary, like the threats and stuff, you know?
Oh, I can't even imagine. So Amanda did a interview with Republic World, and she actually said in that Dan Schneider's actions were creepy and inappropriate. And again, people are just like, oh, Amanda.
I know. Drug addict Amanda.
Yeah.
Remember Amanda's tweets? It's like.
Remember when she called Rihanna ugly?
Yeah, it's like. Yeah, so I remember when Amanda was in the midst of a public manic episode. Yeah, I remember when like one of the most talented child actors that we've ever seen was being publicly fucking smeared all over the internet and having her image destroyed from trauma.
And let's talk a little bit more about Amanda, because everybody wants us to do Amanda episode, and I know that we have to dive into like Amanda,
right? Yeah,
but a big part of her story is the Dan Schneider of it all.
Right.
And I guess I compare him a lot to Lou Pearlman.
Yeah, so much.
Just imagine someone who has your whole career in the palm of his hand and he just keeps dangling it back and forth, back and forth. And yeah, he just, and it sounds like with like Jeanette, Amanda, and the girl from Zoe 101, there was like a switch that happened where all of a sudden they weren't like prized possessions anymore.
Right.
He has the girls from Victorious now. He doesn't need, you know, Amanda anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He is just a constant onslaught of girls just, you know, willing to do whatever because they want to be on Nickelodeon and be on a show that makes them millions of dollars. Like, you know, and it's like, it's almost like in comparison, he is the only person I can think to really compare to Lou. But in comparison, he's so much worse because at least Lou fell out of good graces with the public. Like, you know, he really, if you look at it, like, it's like he had a couple really successful boy bands and then they publicly were like, oh no, he's rotted. No. And then they sued him and then he was done.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, but Dan is like as powerful as he's ever been with no job.
He has to still be involved somehow.
Totally. He's 1,000% involved. And if you think about it, it's like the only reason it's not like he was like, let's just be honest. It's not like he was making kid shows about people slipping on banana peels. He wasn't right. Making Schindler's List. So it's not like he was making those shows out of some creative need to express himself or whatever. So it's like, he still gets the benefit of being able to be a gross fucker and show up at children's auditions and shit and not have to work. He'll never need to work again. He's made hundreds of millions of dollars. Like, letting him go was like a full-on vanity thing.
Just all the blinds are about him being an abusive motherfucker.
Yeah, it's like it almost becomes repetitive because it's like,
can I do a Victoria Justice one?
Sure.
Because I feel like Victoria Justice has been so fucked by the entertainment world.
Yeah, totally.
Because they put her and Ariana against one another immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And Ariana had Scooter. And Scooter kind of blackballed Victoria from having a singing career. And then I think Dan liked Ariana more, so he kind of got rid of Victoria.
Right.
The former A-list teen show actress, despite being older than a teen, who was cast aside for a teen who used her voice and feet to get great advantage, has been forced to spend more time yachting because she can't get any work. Victoria Justice, Ariana Grande, and Dan Schneider.
I'm happy that that blind brought up yachting because it's like, I think it helps people kind of understand this idea that, like, especially with the quote that you read earlier, that like, as a kid, like if this happens to you and then you go through a period of being like hypersexualized and hypersexual and just being like, well, I'll fuck any producer if it means I get a job. Like, that was easy. I'll just keep doing it. The next natural progression, a la Lindsay Lohan, is to yacht. Because you do become less desirable to producers who have an onslaught of tween and, you know, teen girls showing up. If you're Lindsay in your mid-20s and you're like kind of what Hollywood considered to be washed up, the next natural progression, because people always say, like, well, why would a celebrity yacht? For a lot of people, the natural progression is to then yacht because it's how you've been trained in this industry to make money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, maybe you don't want to do some fucking yogurt endorsement or something. You want $100,000 right now. So you're going to go on a yacht.
Yeah. This fires me up.
I know. It makes me so angry.
And it makes me so mad that they make these girls look crazy.
That's the worst part.
And even with Jamie Lynn, you know, I know, like I said, I know we were harsh on her in her episode. And I think now Jamie Lynn is not Jamie Lynn from Zoe 101.
Right.
But like, she was a slut. You know, how dare she get pregnant as a teenager? That was the narrative around it.
Right.
It was, even teachers in my school were like, can you believe Jamie Lynn's pregnant at 16?
Yeah. And it's like, think about what you're making fun of.
Right.
Especially when you know. Like, the Amanda stuff always killed me.
Yeah.
Like, it gave me such Britney PTSD. I was like, I cannot believe this is happening again to somebody who is so undeserving of this. Like, and just being out in public, out in the streets, you know, even worse because the paparazzi were following Amanda Bynes in a way that was, like, just enough to be really sad. It wasn't like Britney where she was being hounded. She was being followed by a few people who would catch her doing horrifically sad things, like sleeping on couches at malls, or, you know, walking around New York City in like slippers and talking to herself. And like, it's like, this is Amanda Bynes. Like, and we're making fun of her, and like, nobody seems to be concerned. You know, Wendy Williams is like laughing at her and shit on TV. And I'm like, what is wrong with people?
Yeah. I mean, mental health just wasn't talked about.
Yeah.
And God forbid you mention that these young children actors, and it's not all just females. I do want to say that. I'm saying actors, blanket term, totally. Men, young boys, young women, that there are people in Hollywood who will fuck them.
Yeah.
That's it. Like,
it is. That's the true tea. Like, that's it. And again, I just want to reiterate and specify that, like, we are not trying to fucking, like, I don't even think that you and I have, like, QAnon on our minds when we're talking about this stuff. Like, we're simply coming at it from a perspective of being people who love pop culture and Hollywood.
Yeah.
And I just think that it's disgusting that QAnon has attached themselves to this. It's like, find some other thing to make like your cause, but to now like muddy this already really fucked up thing that does happen. And also like, it's like, I would ask people to like just fully remove themselves from that and look at this with common sense.
Because when we did the BuzzFeed article, that was what the person interviewing us was trying to get, trying to be like, well, is there a crossover? I'm like, sure, if you think so, but no. Like,
Right. Like
I guess if you look at it from a very broad like space, yeah, you could say they're similar, but I really do not, I don't know. I don't buy into that. You know?
I don't either. And if that's the case, there's, like I said earlier, there is also technically crossover with Me Too.
Yeah.
So are you going to claim then that women are not being assaulted in Hollywood? Because it would be the exact same thing, because there are tons of kids and adults who have come forward and said that they were, just like there have been women and adult men who have come forward and said that they were
a part of
Me Too. So like, what's the difference?
I honestly think it's just hard for people to believe.
Yeah, I agree.
Like the idea of Dan Schneider maybe being the father to Jamie Lynn's child makes me physically sick. Like,
yeah,
sick to my stomach to think of that. But Right. There's a possibility.
Yeah, there is a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I also understand the perspective of people not wanting to, not really being willing to give up on their favorites. You know, they're not willing to, like, you know, it's like you want to be able to watch these shows and listen to music and watch these movies and stuff and just like indulge in it. And you should be allowed to do that. And that's why I do think that for the most part, there does have to be some sort of, there has to be some separation between the content that you take in and the people involved in it, because you can name 10 movies and all 10 of those movies will have somebody involved, whether it's a producer, a writer, a director, an actor who is deemed rotted.
Mm-hmm.
You just, like, it's one of those, like, if you go looking for trouble, you're gonna find it kind of things. And yeah, I want to be able to enjoy certain people's music and shit without knowing this, but it just is reality.
Yeah,
you just kind of have to deal with it how you choose to deal with it, you know,
for sure. And I just think these stories are really important to tell.
I do too.
You know, I don't think we're doing anything that's gonna, I don't know. I'm not trying to say that. Actually, I think this is important. You know, I don't know, think we're considered viable news people. You know what I mean? Right. But what we are talking about is important and should be taken as important.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. I mean, I remember when I was home, my nieces were watching Henry Danger. And at the end, Schneider's Bakery popped up and my heart dropped to the floor. Yeah. And I looked at my stepmom. I'm like, do you know who made this? And like, I started going off and she was like, Kelly, the girls like the show. And I was kind of like, fuck.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's like, if I could go back and just take the blue pill and like not know anything, sure, I probably would. You know what I mean? But like, I think it's, like you said, I think it's important to tell these stories. Like, it's important to make some sort of dent, even if it's a tiny one, because this is fucked up and I feel bad for these people. And I love Amanda Bynes, and I'm gonna do everything I can to make sure people know what happened to her, you know?
Right. Yeah. And I feel bad laughing at those tweets, you know, when they were coming out. And I remember there were moments where I was like trying to poke at Amanda a little bit to try and get in a Twitter fight with her.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, wow, I was really a part of the problem.
We all were, though.
Yeah. I mean, same with Britney and all that stuff. But yeah. Jeanette McCurdy is someone who's actively going out there. And so is Allison Stoner. Was she on Nickelodeon? She was on Disney, I think.
Yeah, I think she may have been Disney, but I'm not sure.
But she's also coming out with a lot of stuff being like, there are pedophiles in Hollywood. There are predators in Hollywood. And people just aren't listening. It makes me so mad. I'm like, how many times does this girl have to tell you what happened to her for you to be like, okay.
Right. Yeah. I'm not sure. It's like,
rather than be like, why didn't Selena say anything?
Right.
Why didn't Demi? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I agree. I don't know if I don't know. I mean, we have other blinds that we can read, but I just don't know if I do have a kooky one.
Okay.
It's not kooky in a fun way, but it's kooky. Like, it'll make you tilt your head.
Okay.
One thing that won't be shown in this proposed new show featuring a one-hit wonder is that set visit back in the day to that horrible For Tweens network. The producer was a big fan, so he managed to find several groupies willing to hook up with the guest star in exchange for getting to hang out backstage at an event with numerous underage tweens and teens that were fans of the one-hit wonder. That is Dan Schneider's friendship with Vanilla Ice.
What?
Right.
That's sick.
I know. It's so random.
What show was Vanilla Ice on? Or was it just a set visit?
Wide Open, the real life story of the rise and fall and redemption of Rob Van Winkle, aka Vanilla Ice. And that's the other thing too, is like, you imagine like how many people he's like friends with and has close relationships to that are actors, and you know, actors that are like, it's like, well, if you tell my shit, I'll tell your shit, you know?
Yeah, all the blackmail. So much blackmail.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, if we keep reading blinds, guys, it's just repetitive.
I know, and it's making me sick, to be honest.
Yeah. And a couple years ago, I remember Ariana posted a photo with him backstage of her concert. I got angry.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know it's not that easy to just cut ties with an abuser. I know that there are many, many levels of like
right.
trauma that you know, I'm not blaming Ariana at all.
Right.
But when I saw that, I was like, what the fuck? And then when the iCarly reboot happened, it was the first time Dan Schneider started trending on Twitter, and it was everybody saying what a monster he is.
Right.
So it's known, it's knowledge.
Yeah, I had a similar experience when I found out that that Josh from Drake and Josh invited Dan to his wedding.
And yeah.
I was like, whoa, like, what? Really? Like, I just couldn't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
And then there's Drake Bell.
Yeah, then there's fucking Drake.
Who's like a monster himself, but who's to say he wasn't a part of that too?
Totally. 1,000%. Because that's the thing is like I was thinking about that girl saying, you know, describing the audition process or whatever, and that it was full of producers. It was like lots of male producers. And I'm sure lots of male producers who were gay. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's a buffet for them, which is like, oh God, I don't know if I have anything else to add.
All that I have to say is like, you need to believe these people who were once child actors.
Yeah.
Now they feel brave enough to come out and talk about their experience. Fucking listen.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, because there are people like, say, Aaron Carter, who's like, nothing happened to me. It's all bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are people like Allison Stoner, who's like, no, this happens.
Right.
You gotta believe it. Like,
I agree. I agree with that. If we live in a state of believe all victims and protect victims, like, well, then do it. Fucking listen to these people. Like,
and I've honestly kind of turned on Hollywood since we started, probably before we started this podcast.
Yeah.
But even more so now, the way I look at Hollywood, I'm like, you guys are fucking gross.
I agree with that. I definitely think that there's like a mist of like, you know, worshiping these people in a way that is completely unstable. Mm-hmm. And obviously you and I are, we've done that and we continue to do it with certain people. It's hard to fully break, but you know, it's like, I definitely don't feel any need to protect like Brad Pitt. You know what I mean? And I do think that there's a level of like, Hollywood has sort of convinced people that like, no, there, you have a responsibility to be extremely careful when you talk about Angelina Jolie. It's like, why? Do you know what I mean?
What, is John Voight going to show up in my window? Probably.
Yeah. Like, Angelina Jolie doesn't pay my bills or know who I am.
And do you remember when Brad Pitt like lunged at, I believe, Maddox? And that's kind of what fueled the divorce, it seemed. Yeah. Everyone was like, Brad Pitt wouldn't do that. I'm like, you don't know Brad Pitt.
I can know him. Why? Because you like Legends of the Fall. You think Brad Pitt wouldn't do that? Like, we don't know these people.
Because he does charity. That's awesome for him, but he can still be a shitty person.
Exactly. So.
And I mean, even Jen Aniston said he's missing a sensitivity chip, as I talked about. You're right. But yeah, I think this podcast has helped me be like, I don't need to stand up for celebrities. There are celebrities that I like and that I likely will not talk shit about. Obviously, if we have to, we have to.
Right. Totally.
But like, I don't know. I used to be like, oh, you don't like Taylor Swift? Let me tell you why you should.
Right. Yeah.
And now I'm just like, that's fine.
Right. Yeah. You have the same exact way. I'm like, do whatever you want.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's sad.
It is sad. And my anger towards Hollywood starts with the fact they don't protect kids.
And that it's just so okay that they don't.
And it's so... Everybody knows. I have a question to ask you before we already know Dan's rotted past the core and the tree fucking rotted.
Right.
What do you think's worse, Nickelodeon or Disney? Or do you think it's just one and the same?
I'm going to say that I think Disney's worse.
Because I think they punch harder.
I do think that they punch harder. And I think that it's Nickelodeon at least doesn't force their stars to be pure. You can be a Nickelodeon star and go out and do fuck shit. I mean, I don't know if that makes it any better, but it's like this idea that they're doing similar stuff to Disney stars and then making them be pretend virgins. I think that is another layer of sadistic.
And makes them all date each other.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, they put those kids through, like, the old school Hollywood machine that we have, in most cases, ended because it's so toxic, but not with Disney. You can still be a Disney star and have a completely false persona, and behind the scenes, they're just, like, I don't know. That, to me, is so, like, Nickelodeon, to me, is just, like, lazy, and they're very, like, surface level with how sadistic they are. They don't even try and hide it. Disney is like magic and whimsy, and people pump millions of dollars into like the whole thing every year, and I just think it's all bullshit.
Yeah. Sorry, I would Disney agree heads. With you. I know. I'd agree with you because I mean the Nickelodeon massive stars, in my opinion, still don't touch like Jonas Brothers or Miley.
Right.
I mean, Ariana Grande, but I kind of feel like Nickelodeon, even though that was her start, that doesn't count.
Right, totally.
And then Amanda Bynes.
Yeah.
I guess Kenan Thompson's pretty big, but like he's been on SNL forever, but it doesn't hit the way like Miley Cyrus does.
Yeah, like the impact.
Yeah.
You know, of these kids really thinking that like, you know, Demi Lovato is like a teen virgin who prays every night before bed and that they should do that too.
It's like, that is so sick.
Yeah, that to me is like really sick.
Yeah, because you're messing with your viewers too.
Exactly.
Ooh, that was a hard one. That was a tough one, guys. And we know we rambled and it got repetitive, but if you look up any Dan Schneider blinds, it's all the same shit. I mean, they basically say like Miranda was his little pet and that they slept together. No, he was raping her.
Yeah.
I hate that term, slept with. She's 14 years old.
Yeah.
She can't even drive a fucking car.
Yeah, I would encourage anybody listening to this who like isn't really as well versed, literally type Dan Schneider's name on YouTube. People have made some amazing documentaries, think pieces, compilation videos. Like this is mainstream enough that you wouldn't have no issue finding out stuff that you want to know. Like it's all, you don't even have to, you just type his name in YouTube, it brings up all the stuff.
Yeah. Well, guys, thank you for listening. This was a hard one, but it's something that I think is important to talk about. And I hope one day that the victims of Dan Schneider get respect on their names for speaking out when they did. And, and to those who didn't speak out, like they're also victims. I'm really not trying to like say anything negative about people who don't speak out, because I know it's really hard.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that too.
Well, thank you guys for sticking through this one with us. This was a lot.
Have a nice rest of your day.
Yeah, have a good work day. Bye.